So what else do we have for this week?
Images of Super Go Sager and Go Say Wonder. That's about it.
Yeah,
Super Go Sager is like using... it's kind of an ironic use of Super, isn't it? Like saying Great Britain.
Yeah.
When you say it, but you just don't really mean it.
Superhero time!
Showtime!
It's superhero time. For some reason. I'm XV. And with me I have... I've got Paladin.
Yo.
And Hey Mickey.
Hi.
And Fort Max.
Hello.
And a text message. Well, Paladin, talk about the Go Sager information.
Well, over the past 2 weeks now, I suppose it is, we've got a lot of new details about the upcoming Go Sager movie, which will be in this August. The new trailer doesn't have a whole lot of extra footage, but frankly, since it's Go Sager, I just can't really bring myself to care.
Maybe the movie will just be a clip show.
No, that would make too much sense.
It would be an hour of the Go Sager screwing things up, set to the Benny Hill music.
And no, that would possibly be good, and we couldn't have that in Go Sager.
And now I kind of want to make that.
Well, if you have lemons, you make lemonade.
Yeah. Or if you have ghost agers, you make a piece of crap, apparently.
Yeah. And there are several new shots of the mecha for this movie, the Go Say Wonder. Which, the more I think about it, really is just kind of a big screw you to the fans.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like, think back to the Gowandra movie where they gave the Dai Shogun engines.
Yeah.
Those were a clear alternate configuration for Engine O. But with this Go Say Wonder, you can really only form the new spin-off Go Say Great if you already have a regular Go Say Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it doesn't look all that great to begin with.
Yeah, true.
The combined form is just too blue.
And the heads really don't add much to anything.
They never do.
That's a good point.
Pirate hat.
Well, yes, but that's a head on top of where the regular head should be. It's not a head just appended to the body.
Yeah.
It's like a pirate hat was worn on the knee, not as awesome.
Or on the middle of the chest. They put the saw blade on the chest.
On the shoulder would work.
Well, chainsaw chest was kind
of
cool,
the top of the shoulder would work.
Chainsaw chest was okay, but a pirate hat boxing glove just didn't really work for me.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the giant axe on Go Say Wonder may be the closest we get to your request for lumberjack hat.
I'm not expecting the show to do me any favors at this point.
Yeah, probably a good thing.
Besides, you would have wanted lumberjack hat to be like plaid or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, ideally.
See, I can get on board with a plaid mecha. But
give it ludicrous speed.
I'm just strange like that. Maybe we could get like a plaid bagpipe header. The Scotts Brothers.
Nah.
So Flynn helps the Go Sager?
There you go.
Again, we wouldn't happen because it would probably be good.
Right.
You have to keep that away.
Flynn makes everything better.
Okay, so since we're into the range of contradiction in terms, how about the Super Go Sagers?
Yes, the power.
They certainly are wearing extra stuff.
The Lights of Orion.
It's the legend armor mode.
Looks like the Lights of Orion.
Sargo's head on a pike.
With gumball machines.
It looked like it was a little bit more comprehensive than the Lights of Orion.
Yeah. That's the
gumball machines.
Excuse me.
What was that?
That was me not having a glass of water, sorry. The Super Go Sager is another big conflicting thing about the whole Go Sager series. Even though the designs look great, I just can't get excited about it because of the quality of the series itself.
Yeah. It's really hard to be happy with anything they show anymore, because eventually it's going to have to be in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the pictures of the Super Ghost Haters. All can do is mentally remove their helmets and see their smiling, vapid faces underneath.
You know, for Power Rangers Mystic Force, they actually made toys like that.
And does the Blue Ranger, like, get shorter when he morphs or something?
Well, do you remember watching Jungle Fury?
I kind of didn't watch Jungle Fury because...
Version is that in Jungle Fury, Blue Ranger got taller when he morphed. A lot like Justin, actually. I think they were about the same height when they were unmorphed.
So he was very short.
Yes.
Yes.
But he transformed into an average-sized Japanese man for the fight footage.
Well, Hyde is, like, apparently 12 feet tall or something in real life.
Yeah, like that picture Paladin sent us of the Ghost Agers for the Sentai versus Theater thing, whatever that is,
really
shows off how much taller Hyde is than everybody else.
Like, I'm pretty sure that instead of, like, you know, calling out Ghost Egg Wright, they just, like, have Hyde unmorph and stand up and fight it.
But yes, he's very tall, and I'm sure they can't find a stuntman the same height.
Well, it's Japan. They're, what,
you would
about
think,
5'6"?
Though, that would be a consideration. You would think that would be a consideration when casting the actors, though. Are they of reasonable similarity to the size of the stunt people we have to fill their costumes with?
I don't think that much consideration went into making the show.
No,
I'm kind of doubting it.
It doesn't seem that way. Super Ghost Agers powered by celestial gumball machines.
Yeah.
I just don't.
My only real hope for this now is that Saban eventually gets off its ass and starts adapting shit stuff again, so eventually we'll have an American Ghost Ager to look forward to.
Well, they're supposed to be adapting Shinkanger, aren't they?
Supposed to be, yeah.
Okay, so they've got a gumball machine, you know, which is the Tom Servo's head on a pike. And then their armor is made up of a bunch of random gold pieces.
Yes.
So that's probably Crow.
You're assigning too much good to this, Mickey.
No, yeah. It's they've killed something good, and they're wearing its corpse.
So it's like Revenge of the Fallen, then.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's the Gosei news. Should we move on to the other stuff?
New double movie trailer.
All right, we can talk about something good.
It's very double. Mickey?
I'm sorry?
Max? Somebody?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, fine. I gotta do everything around here.
Did he just sniper him in the face at point blank range?
Probably so. Just be set for a letdown when the Ghost Ager portion starts.
I've got to watch that, too. Can I just stop it with the double?
Well, I guess we've already finished talking about Ghost Ager, so it doesn't really matter.
Nope, Skull, so...
Okay, I'm not watching. Well, it looks wonderful, the double part.
It's a double movie, of course it's wonderful. Very hard-boiled.
I'm pretty sure double would cook me breakfast if I felt like it, because it's just that wonderful. There's just nothing it can't do to make you feel better.
Well, except for continuing forever and ever.
Of course it will.
No, it's going to end August 28th.
No, it won't.
Yeah, that'll be the last episode.
No. Nope.
Then the week after O's starts.
Nonsense. O's is just a massive misdirection campaign.
What a funny name that is, too. Masked Rider O's.
It sounds like a breakfast cereal.
It's like an awesome breakfast cereal.
It's a breakfast cereal made up of lions and tigers and...
Bears?
No. Lions and tigers and grasshoppers and praying mantises. And a bird.
Oh, my.
Hey. Yeah, as the premiere of O's gets closer, we're of course finding out more information. Like that, to start with, O's is going to have at least 10 forms.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, except that none of the forms look all that great. They look like a poorly decorated Mexican restaurant.
Ooh, I'd love some fajitas. No, actually, I like the configurations that use Stag Beetle as the top. And the lion head isn't bad either.
The heads are all okay. It's just the chest that looks wrong. There's too many lines and details in it. It's like some kind of kanji from hell.
I don't think we should hold up too much hope for O's.
It's going to be a letdown no matter what it is. Even if it's great, it's still not going to be double. So,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. With Super Sentai Shinkenger, which was friggin' awesome, ended, and that led into Gosager. Now Double, which is said to be friggin' awesome, is ending, and it's leading into this, so...
Said to be friggin' awesome?
Yeah, I haven't watched
hasn't
much
watched
Double,
but, like, two episodes of it.
Well, it's just like, Gohanger was awesome, and then because Gohanger was so great, I couldn't really get into Shinkenger, even though it turned out to be good, just because it wasn't Gohanger.
I'll have an easier time adapting to O's because I've been watching other Masked Rider series on the side. But, I mean, I'll fully admit that Double has that extra little bit of appeal because of the detective agency portion of it. You know, it makes a completely different kind of setup for all the stories.
How do the other series... Are they comedic like Double is?
No.
So they're all serious?
Deno is fairly comedic. I think Double's probably a little bit more so. But the other ones mostly play it straight.
Mm.
Maybe you should actually watch some of them.
I've only got so many hours in a week to do things here.
Make up more hours. I don't really care.
As you wish.
Invent 5 more hours during the day.
Well, that'd just be 5 more hours to be playing War for Cybertron, so...
Okay,
I'd need more than that.
Invent like 8 or 12 more hours a day.
That should be enough.
Yeah. You can call one of the hours George.
Why?
Because that was the first thing that popped into my head.
Oh, okay.
So naturally that has to come out of my mouth. But, yeah, I mean, I'm already figuring that O's is going to be kind of a... I don't really want to use the word letdown. It's just going to be a lot different from Double, and it's going to take some getting used to for me.
Hopefully it won't take 20-some weeks before it gets tolerable like Gosager did.
You mean 20-plus weeks.
What did I say, 20-some weeks?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing as 20-plus?
Not necessarily. We're at 20 weeks and still counting, waiting for Gosager to actually be good.
Well, it's gotten better.
Marginally.
Not good, but it's gone from like a 1 to like a 3 or 4.
I was going to say like 1.7.
Well, Gosei Knight being such a dick kind of helps.
A little bit.
For as long as that lasts.
Because I like how he's all about trying to save the planet, but he's fine with slaughtering innocents along the way. That's pretty rad.
He's about saving the planet, not the people.
Yeah.
The people don't matter, just the condition of the planet, which actually, if he decides to go all the way with that, he's going to have to eventually wipe out the entire civilization.
And at this point, I wouldn't blame him.
Probably also is the wrong show, but still. I wouldn't mind if he wipes out the people responsible for Gosager. I mean, that would be tragic and everything, sure, but still.
If everywhere you went, the Gosager showed up, you wouldn't want to save humanity either.
If everywhere I went, the Gosagers showed up, I wouldn't want to leave my house.
Well, they'd show up at your house, then. Gosagers can get anything done without the Gosagers sticking their noses in.
Apparently nobody can do anything without the Gosagers getting involved.
Yeah.
That seems to be
even fall in love.
Yeah. Well, first, let's go over episode 19.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I kind of liked episode 19.
That's because it debuted a new mecha formation.
Oh, yeah, you saw through that right away, didn't you?
You have to like that.
All right. 19 starts with Blade Run finding one of the not-orgs who escaped confinement way back when, a Kappa, which is kind of cool.
Very Japanese.
Kappas are fun.
And his special superpower is to conquer humanity by infecting people with crabs.
I'm pretty sure that's not one of a Kappa's natural abilities.
I'm pretty sure that's your mom.
Oh, well played.
Anyway, they were ticks.
Yeah, yeah, they called them ticks, but we know what it really is.
Did they yell spoon?
Well,
sadly,
no,
they did not.
That might have implied some awesome in the show, which we just can't have.
That's true.
And they were not blue either, unfortunately.
Okay, so the tick crab things. Your mom.
They start swarming in an amusement park and capturing people, and then the not-orgs capture Gosei Knight and use his energy to torture the people they've captured.
To turn them into more Kappas.
Precisely.
Who will in turn capture more people and turn them into more Kappas.
Self-perpetuating world conquest.
I just wonder what their plan is after everybody's a Kappa. Wouldn't it just be basically the same thing, but everybody's a turtle monster now?
Well, they'd all have to live in rivers then, wouldn't they?
I guess it depends whether they're freshwater or saltwater Kappas.
Yeah, they just kill them all and make a big pot of soup.
So now I'm getting hungry.
It is almost dinner time.
Tonight I dine on turtle soup.
Anyway, while most of the Gosei are...
You're no James Avery, Mickey.
Who is?
James Avery?
Yeah.
What?
But no. He's no Tex Avery.
Paladin.
All right. The other Ghostsager try to find Gosei Knight because they realize he uses the same sort of power they do, kind of, and can theoretically track them.
He has the power of the Earth.
Yes.
He is your powers combined.
Heart! Heart!
See, what would have been better in Captain Planet is if the power of heart gave people heart attacks.
They didn't just have the rest of the show for that?
What?
It should be like a big pink candy heart thing, like in Sailor Moon.
Not the Sailor Moon again. Okay, so moving along.
And in the middle of all that, Audrey and Monet have a chance encounter with the Kaku Rangers.
What? Wait, the Kaku Rangers?
Yes, they're visiting a couple in the hospital whose daughter was abducted by the tick crabs, and they are played by veteran Sentai actors and actresses who were previously Ninja White and Ninja Red in Kaku Ranger.
Oh.
Oh, so just the actors, not the actual Rangers.
That would have been awesome, so of course they can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Good point.
So Alada and his group, by some astounding leap of logic, actually find Gosei Knight and point out that he's been tricked into serving the not-orgs instead of trying to kill them.
Well, that's what happens when you try to sledgehammer your way out of a cage.
Yeah. So instead he Super Saiyans his way out of the cage.
That's better. Well, you know, a hammer might not always work, but you can't beat burning justice.
That's true.
Not without penicillin.
Burning justice laughs in the face of your silly antibiotics. As does Hey Mickey's microphone.
Is it buzzing?
Yes.
All right then.
Watch, now it won't work after he puts it back.
Better? I was going to call that good comedic timing, but there really was no comedy to it.
I like most of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gosei Knight is Super Saiyan and royally pissed, as most Super Saiyans are.
Right. So, blows up Kappa, Kappa grows big, then Gosei Knight pulls a decade by trying out some new powers.
Yeah. When his newly printed cards fly into his hand, very much like Decade.
Yes. He summons the Nidic brothers. E. Leon, which is a Carnival cruise ship, apparently. It is. And Sky Leon, which is a blimp.
I thought they just called it Skyon.
Oh, whatever.
Well, Skyon sounds stupider, so I'm more inclined to go with that.
Yeah, that does fit the theme, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they combine with his vehicle form, the Ground Leon, to form Gosei Grand.
Isn't it Gosei Ground?
Yeah.
Well, the card reads Gosei Ground, but the Leon cellular voice clearly says Grand. So I guess it's just personal preference, really. I'm sticking with Grand.
Yeah, it's possible the show itself has both ways, because one way is wrong.
So, anyway.
Grand fits the naming scheme, even if there's nothing grand about the show, actually.
Yes, and the power chamber was in the basement. Continue on with the story.
All right.
I'm all angry now.
Gosei Grand wins. Kaku Rangers get their daughter back, and Agri does the Tenso flashy thing to wipe their minds.
Wait, she flashes them?
What?
It's a Men in Black joke, damn it.
Oh.
And sadly, that was the better of the two episodes the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Because the title of Epic Failure number 20 is, Go Sage Your Fallen Love?
Yeah, that's close enough. I'm not about to look it up again.
Right.
And 20 was bad. And I don't mean bad because it's Go Sager. I mean bad even for Go Sager.
Yeah. Well, it proves what we were talking about a few minutes ago, which is that the Ghost Agers apparently can't not be involved in anything.
Yeah.
Including a middle school crush. Or junior high, whatever.
By a pair of glasses with teeth hiding behind them.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to say it's Japan, but I don't think that would be too appropriate.
Possibly not, but you just did.
Well, you should watch the first episode of Die Ranger, then. It's even more blatant there.
So, anyway. And it's just a stunning coincidence, the monster they pull out for this episode.
Yeah, I don't understand this monster. What was it exactly? Cotton?
It was something that had little floaty seeds.
Yeah, I'm not getting it at all. I'm sorry.
And Paladin is not talking.
I didn't even care enough to look this one up, but I'll do it now.
Can you not just say what it is?
Apparently not.
No. Let's see, it's a leech of some sort, I think.
A leech?
Yeah.
With fluffy floating seeds?
Wait, is it a dandelion?
Great show.
Yep, that's us.
So do you not know what it is either, then, XP?
I have no idea.
Okay. Then why was it such a big coincidence that's what the monster was?
But it's what the monster does.
Oh, I thought we were talking about what it was.
So was I.
Well, that's...
Same here.
Well, that's your own fault. I knew exactly what I was talking about.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah, it ate love.
Yeah.
Highly coincidental. Apparently the new Phantom Beasts can't do anything without interfering with everybody's stuff, too.
Of course, they're required by contract, probably. It's the unwritten rule for every villain group ever.
Yep.
But, long story short, Gosei Grand and...
Oh, please, short.
Bird Butthead Megazord kill the fluffy thing.
That's the lamest ending attack ever.
No, there's worse.
Worse than just... I'll just kind of fly by you, then you explode.
What's worse?
I don't know. We're only 20 episodes in.
Well, it doesn't count if you're just anticipating a worse one in this series.
It should.
You know, the odd thing in this episode is that they don't show the glasses with teeth. I don't even remember what his name was. Getting his memory erased.
Maybe they figured he had enough problems. Just let him go.
No, knowing the ghost haters, they probably just screwed up and forgot to do it.
Yeah, that seems about right. And yes, as is typical, Ghosty Knight was kind of an ass.
Yes.
They totally tried to shoot all those innocent people like in the back to get to the monster.
He did.
Ghosty Knight's awesome.
Yes.
What was episode 21 going to be? I don't even remember.
Aerie is going to have a
horror of episode
show.
20 just has, you know, completely fried it out of my memory.
Yeah, it seems like episode 20 really should have been the Aerie focus episode since it's all retarded and about love and shit.
Yeah.
Well, you could have just stopped after the retarded part.
Well, I felt like it's going on.
Because you missed Go-Onger.
Go on.
Yeah. That was kind of the point, wasn't it?
I'm going to go rewatch that.
There you go.
Okay, Mickey. Tell us about, what was it, 39 and 40 of Double.
I haven't seen 40. I saw 39 today, though.
Well, 40 was out, too.
Well, I didn't watch it.
You only watched 39 today?
Yeah. I didn't download it till today.
Why?
Been doing other stuff.
Well, that's hardly an excuse.
Well, that's all you're getting, so.
Well, fine, talk.
So, 39 was all about Psycho showing up and reclaiming her queen bitch persona.
Well, that's Psycho.
Yeah. Yeah, now she's Nazca, which is awesome.
Orange Nazca.
Well, I thought she was red. I mean, she is faster.
Orange. She's three times as fast.
Well, they didn't specify three times, but they did comment on how fast she was.
Well, she's at level three now.
But I guess they did say that then, huh?
Yeah.
You're right, Japan does love that joke.
Yeah. it's just like Hiro Mechamedi's flying bug thing in Go-Onger was three times faster than the other flying bug things. Which they actually said in the dialogue.
Why does Japan love that joke so much? I don't understand.
Japan loves their Gundam.
You don't have to understand. It's Japan.
And Char in particular.
Well, Char is pretty awesome, but...
Yeah, well... I should change my icon back to Char. Hilarious live-action Char, that is.
So, wait, oh, that's not a cosplay?
No, that's actually a... official thing.
That's terrifying.
Very.
Yeah, you haven't
it's
even
like
seen what it
Dave
comes
Coulier
from.
In a mask.
Yet if that happened, it would still be better than Go-Onger. Or Go-Sager. Sorry.
Yeah, nothing but, better than Go-Onger.
But see, by not watching 40, you missed all the interesting stuff happen. Instead, you just got to watch Akiko produce a movie.
Which is fun, because she's Akiko.
No, she's Aki-P.
Yes, she is. Yeah, I love the way that episode 39 closed, with her scratching her head with the fireballs going off behind her.
Yeah, Akiko's hilarious.
She won't be in O's.
Yeah, I was going to say that's something else O's won't have. You know, it seems to me that most of the time the... female lead in a Masked Rider series is,
awful.
You know, like, serious. Whereas Akiko is just comedy.
Akiko is insane.
That's comedy.
Yes, it is.
I'm gonna miss Double so much.
You can always not watch the last episode, so that way there'll always be one more episode for you to watch.
No.
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 But at least I'll have the movie to watch this winter.
You mean next winter when they didn't sub it?
No, this winter.
You think it'll be out by this winter?
Why not?
What took them
they
so long to
get... They got Begins Night subbed pretty quick.
But the other one took forever.
Which other one?
All Riders, isn't that the one we were complaining about?
No, Go On versus Shinkenger is one that took forever.
Oh. Well, yeah. Doesn't diminish the point.
Well, timing is what it is.
And timing is everything in subtitles.
And podcasting. So, now we still have not had another episode of Power Rangers Remastered yet, have we?
Nope.
For better or for worse, no.
Has it been
until next Saturday.
Okay, one at a time.
Yeah, don't get new episodes until next Saturday.
Joy.
Which, by the time this is actually released, maybe this Saturday.
Oh, snap.
Go to hell, Fort Mac.
Well played. So,
your mom, Fort Mac. Your mom.
Has there been any news about developments for next year's Rangers and Saban and all that stuff?
Not really.
Nothing concrete.
I mean, production's not even going to start till like September, I think.
No, it's okay. So production will start in the fall then.
Well, September is generally in the fall.
It's sometimes it's still considered summer here.
Well, okay, my mom has always had this joke. Shut up. My mom has always had this joke that in Tennessee, the four seasons are summer, still summer, Christmas, and almost summer.
Yeah. that's it. No news on when the reruns are going to start up yet?
Unfortunately, no.
You mean on Nick?
Yeah.
No. Just sometime in the nebulous future.
Nebulous future seems like a villain for a show.
Well, didn't you watch Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys?
I've never even heard of that.
Really?
How have you not? I've heard of that.
It's because he's old, guys.
I've heard of that Go-Go Monkey Hyperforce whatever thing.
Oh, Captain Simian was 90s, wasn't? Was like late 90s? Or mid 90s, but...
It was around the same time as Beast Wars.
Yeah.
I totally don't remember that at all. I remember Bucky O'Hare.
That was way earlier.
Oh.
Anyway, in Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys, the main villain was called Nebula.
Oh, well.
And he was voiced by Worf. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what were we talking about?
Double, I believe.
Well, we were talking about Power Rangers.
Yeah, haven't we finished talking about Double since Hey Mickey is like 2 weeks behind?
I guess so.
Maybe.
Well, we could talk about O's some more. Or again, did we talk about O's since I actually started the show?
I think so. Yeah, we did. Oh, we forgot to mention that 50 episodes looks like because of the...
Yeah. Because apparently the episode numbers are going to count down.
That's helpful.
Maybe the series will start from the end and every week progress a little bit more toward the beginning.
I hope not. That sounds irritating.
Yeah. I think that would piss a lot of people off.
Well, you know, if they did it,
isn't already going to piss a lot of people off because it's not Double.
If they did it right, I think they could actually make a series pretty interesting that way.
That would be really hard to write 50 episodes progressing backwards.
Well, you know, maybe not a Masked Rider series, but something.
I can see them do it with like a 6-episode series, but...
Remember that episode of Seinfeld that they did backwards?
No.
Did you watch Seinfeld?
I watched some of Seinfeld. I watched like the early seasons, but I lost track after like 3 or 4.
Yeah, this was one of the later episodes.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. It was kind of stupid. As so many later episodes of Seinfeld were. What?
What?
Huh?
What?
Superhero time!
Hello, this is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I am also on one of our other podcasts, which is Fanboy Versus, and I really think you should check it out. Fanboy Versus is our comic book podcast, and each week we bring you lots of fun news and information around the comic book world. It is hosted by J.D. Church and features Ender, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and, of course, me, Brian Kilby.
And Cry for Justice was dreadful, so that one I did try to read, and it's just abominable. Character, you know, the first issue alone, every two pages, a character literally drops to their knees, throws their hands up to their heavens, and just cries, "Justice!"
I wish I was joking.
Check it out at tfradio.net. Comes out weekly. If you like comic books, you'll love Fanboy Versus. And Fanboy Versus is brought to you by Value Mags. Check them out at tfradio.net/comics.
Surge!
The site that brought you the best in reviews and photography for the last 5 years now brings you video. FigureReviews.com now features our video-enhanced podcast and video reviews, starting with our special 200th review, plus our normal high-quality text and photo coverage. Toy reviews, photography, and now video. FigureReviews.com.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
This week we're talking about, from Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, the episode Rescue Mission. Otherwise known as, Saban spent a hell of a lot of money on this Starship Troopers costumery, and damn it, they're gonna show it to you.
Did they spend a lot of money on it, or did they just get them out of the garbage?
I don't know.
Okay.
By Power Ranger budget standards, they probably spent a lot of money on it. But yeah, I mean, this episode was notable because until, like, the last 2 minutes of the episode, there was basically no Power Ranger costume usage.
It was radically different from just about anything else they've done.
It was one of the very few episodes of Power Rangers ever to not use any Sentai footage either.
It ended up being pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was no Power Rangers Season 3, for sure.
Or no RPM either, but it still turned out okay.
No, I mean, it was no Power Rangers Season 3, as in it was better than, you know, the largely Saban-produced episodes.
Okay, now I see what you're getting at.
Yes. Okay, so basically, Terra Venture, out in the vast emptiness of space, picks up a distress signal. And amazingly, nobody wants to go answer it.
Because the humans we've sent out to colonize other worlds are secretly selfish dicks.
Or it's how we kill time using the stuff we already have.
Huh?
I'm saying they were using it. They were probably using that to, that first part to fill time.
Gee, really, Fort Max? I never would have understood that if you had not explained it just then.
Then why'd you ask?
Whose side are you on?
Fort Max's.
Surprising. I'm sure nobody's more surprised than Fort Max. But, you know, leave it, of course, to Mike to explain to them why they should be nice people and go try to help somebody.
Yeah.
That's why he's second in command, you know.
Of course.
Even though he was missing for about a year. Or however long that was supposed to be.
And nobody apparently questioned it.
And nobody was assigned to fill his
job. Actually, I think they did question it, and it was, I thought we left you on the moon base. And they never spoke of it again.
I'm not saying that Lost Galaxy didn't have its weaknesses. I mean, if we want to start poking holes in it, we could talk about how the GSA troopers training on the moon were able to breathe without spacesuits.
The same way everyone else in the Power Rangers universe does.
Yeah, the moon's got an atmosphere.
Yeah. We established that.
Zordon did it with Zordon magic.
Well, anyway, stuff happens.
Yes.
Like
a ripoff of a James Cameron movie that's actually more entertaining than the last two James Cameron movies.
You know what else nobody questioned in this episode? When Mike goes to recruit Leo, who basically washed out of GSA training on Terra Venture, to go and fly with them on this rescue mission.
Yeah, no unselfish motives there at all.
And, you know, they, like, issue him a gun and everything.
Yeah.
That just... It's one of those things that just sticks in your head about this episode. But yeah, as they go exploring around in the ship, they eventually find... They come across the, I guess you'd say, remains of the crew, all covered with cotton fluff.
Yes.
Because something apparently intends to come back and eat them later. I guess.
And it likes it fluffy.
Apparently so. Well, you know, fluffy is the sci-fi standard for food storage.
Yes, of course.
It's like this amazing preservative substance. And then they find there's something alive in the ship.
Yes.
There's something on the wing.
Did the ship have wings?
No.
Did
it? No, it didn't. I'm going with no.
And then the rescue team starts to disappear.
Yep, game over, man.
Then what happened?
They find the book as well.
Yes, the book.
The galaxy book that will become a significant plot point in the very next episode.
Right, and then as the series progresses onward and they do more with that plot point, you start to get an implied idea of what happened on that ship in the first place.
Vaguely, yes.
Well, okay. To jump ahead a little bit, when Deviant reads out of the book to empower himself, he ends up turning into a monster not at all dissimilar to the thing running around inside that ship.
Okay, I guess I could see that.
You know, it's very possible they discovered that book somewhere and one of the crew members started, you know, reading the good parts of it and bad stuff started happening. Like eating the rest of the crew. Seems like a reasonable cause to send out a distress signal, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Totally reasonable.
Of course, you might have mentioned that when you're calling for help.
Well, assuming that, of course, that's assuming that they weren't going to mention it as opposed to got eaten first.
I suppose that's a fair point.
Yeah.
So what else happened? I'm tired of talking.
And let's see. The Rangers come in and end up helping out. And just, you know, the only bit of morphed sequence we have for this episode.
Like 30 whole seconds of it.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing they don't ever question in Lost Galaxy. Why is there a bunch of Power Rangers on my space station?
Yes. I know they're trying to do the secret identity thing yet again, but it just doesn't work here.
Well, with that small of a population, it would seem like it's only be a matter of time before a process of elimination kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know the next series they drop the secret identity thing, but it really probably would have helped, It would have made a little bit more credibility if they had made the story work out where everybody knows they're Power Rangers.
Yeah.
As it is, it's just kind of goofy when Kai and Mike and Kendricks all take off for varying lengths of time completely at random in the middle of their shifts.
Nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder just how dedicated the staff is on this ship.
And of course, it makes even weirder by the fact that, the Rangers are flying around in the Astro Mega ship a lot. And who's in the Astro Mega ship all the time when it's docked in our hangar as a museum?
I think they were supposed to not even know that the ship was there most of the time.
No.
They apparently didn't even remember what the ship was. Because remember in the first episode of the season?
It was there as... It was on Terra Venture as a museum.
No, it was on Earth as a museum.
Yeah.
Kai hijacked it and took off with it through the portal to chase after Leo.
Aw.
It was on Earth originally. They just ended up landing at Terra Venture when, you know, that was kind of the only choice left.
Yeah.
So that's how that worked. But yeah, it really seemed like most of the time nobody actually knew the stupid thing was even on board Terra Venture.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's supposed to work. But, I mean, that's pretty much just like everything else that you're not really supposed to question, because nobody else does. Why did I like Lost Galaxy so much again?
That's a good question.
It's fun.
But yeah, the rescue mission was really different in tone from your average Power Rangers episode.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it proves that with enough money to play with, they probably could make their own completely original season of Power Rangers and have something pretty good.
In theory, yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, they're usually like halfway there anyway. You know, if you change out the more fights and the Zord footage, you could basically have it be anything. You know, as long as they could get that part down, they'd be fine.
Right.
But yeah, I remember watching the rescue mission for the first time back when it originally aired, and it was just kind of weird. I mean, you know, there was no Power Ranger suits in it right until the very end of it.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how they actually got that episode cleared.
I don't know, but we should be thankful to them for clearing it.
Yeah, well, I know. It was just, you know, unusually dark and mildly B-horror-y for being Power Rangers.
Horror-y?
Yes.
It's about your mom?
Well, yeah, if you want to ignore three R's.
Okay.
Well, some number of R's, anyway. How would you spell R-ing. That? What?
Nothing.
So, Fort Max, you haven't really said much about this.
Well, there isn't all that much to,
Hey, Fort Max, I know. Maybe the Astro Megaship was in Terra Venture's basement.
How would you define the basement on that thing, anyway?
How does a space colony have a basement?
The
Alamo has a basement.
What?
The Alamo has a basement.
It's what's, you know, below the first floor. Or since in space there's no up and down, it could also be what's above the first floor or to the left and right of the first floor. It's the thing that has the label on it that says basement.
And full of cardboard boxes.
And a tiki head.
Makes you wonder what they were doing in the command center all those years before the show started.
I imagine Zordon and Alpha probably played a lot of Uno.
Would have been difficult since Zordon didn't have any arms in the command center.
I bet you these little robot arms would come out of the command center thing. Like in Futurama, those little metal arms.
Well, see, that would have been better. There should have been a little portable Zordon tube that Alpha could carry around places.
The toy has one.
Well, I know the toy has one, but that should have been an element of the show, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, like how Alpha would sometimes come into the youth center for comedic effect. He could have been carrying Zordon wearing, like, a straw hat and sunglasses. And nobody would notice. Well, yes, we know there's Buzz, but it's funny, so I'm not saying anything about it. But Paladin just has to ruin everything.
That's why I'm here.
I thought that's why Fort Max was here.
What?
Okay, so does anybody want to say anything about the rescue mission?
It was a success.
Well, it was kind of a success. There wasn't really anybody left to rescue, though.
Yes.
But they took home a really nice book. Which apparently had the answer to everything else in the series after that point.
Yeah.
Again, that's one of those things you're just not supposed to question.
Reading is fundamental.
Well, yeah, but you know, it would have been nice if they explained, like, some background on the book, you know, where it came from.
It's just a show. You should really just relax.
Okay, that's enough with the Mystery Science Theater references already.
Well, no such thing.
I think we were kind of borderline when Hey Mickey started talking about the Super Ghost Ager armor being made out of the corpses of Crow and Tom Servo.
But that was funny.
Well, yes, and that's where it should have stopped. That's my point. We've gone too far with it now.
Yeah, okay.
The moment is over.
Welcome back to Paladin's Place, Superhero Time's semi-annual Sentai review section. The 1998 series, known as Gingaman, is a passably adequate entry in the Super Sentai franchise, featuring warriors with nature powers fighting space pirates, frequently on horseback. American producers wanted to continue capitalizing on the success of their previous series, the spectacular Power Rangers in Space, so they adapted Gingaman into a similar space opera. The end result was Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, and it was pretty damn cool. So cool, in fact, that when Lost Galaxy was readapted for airing overseas, it actually received higher ratings and reception than the original Gingaman show. Ironic, isn't it? I'm going to take a moment now to focus on the Lost Galaxy Zords. First up this year, we have the Galactibeasts, a group of gigantic animals freed from captivity by the Rangers. Using special weapons that I can only imagine are powered by the key to Vector Sigma, the Rangers are able to transform the organic Galactibeasts into the robotic Galactizords. This year's individual Zords in particular are Red Lion, Blue Gorilla, Green Condor, Pink Wildcat, and Yellow Wolf. The designs are pretty okay. Individual Zords are never too spectacular, and this is no exception, really. The resulting combination is the Galaxy Megazord. This is a really impressive configuration. Very solidly built and very detailed. In addition to the traditional sword weapon found on all Megazords, the Galaxy Megazord comes armed with a rocket launcher in the form of Condor's body. I should also point out one element from this design that America did not get. Die-cast metal. I'm lucky enough to own the original Japanese mold, and it's a serious Chagakin-worthy brick. Later on in the series, the Lost Galaxy Power Rangers meet the Magna Defender, a caped hero out for revenge. Magna Defender brings his own Zord, the Toro Zord, a robotic bull. In addition, Magna Defender is able to grow giant-sized into a form known as Mega Defender, and then merge with Toro Zord to form Defender Toro Zord. The Toro Zord is a pretty nice secondary Zord, very solidly built with a decent amount of play value in its own right. Again, this mold featured die-cast, which was removed for the American release. Still later in the show, the Galaxy Rangers learned of the existence of three more Galactibeasts, which were defeated in battle long ago, and then rebuilt into Megazords. The Rhino Galactibees became the Red Wheeler team, made up of tank-like vehicles, which combined to form the Centaurus Megazord. This is a pretty creative design, armed with a gigantic cannon assembled by taking one weapon part from each of the tanks. It works pretty well. Meanwhile, the Phoenix Galactibees became the Blue Wing Team, consisting of various aircraft which unite to form the Stratoforce Megazord. This is an even better design than the Centaurus, and possibly my favorite from the series. Stratoforce comes armed with a gigantic boomerang weapon. Please insert your own Australian stereotype joke here. Last, but also probably least, the Shark Galactibees became the Zenith Carrier Zord. This gigantic craft carries the wing and wheel teams when not in use. The toy itself is sadly not to scale. It can only carry miniature versions of the teams. Which is appropriate, I suppose. A Zenith actually big enough to carry the actual secondary Galactibees would be tremendous. Probably bigger than the Fortress Maximus Transformer toy. And nobody wants that. Or at least nobody wants to pay for that. Finally, there is one item that the US line missed out on entirely. The Lights of Orion. A power-up earned by the Rangers not long after meeting the Magna Defender. The Lights of Orion add special armor to the Galaxy Megazord, offering even more impressive detail to an already top-quality design. The Lights set, which was sold in Japan, also came with a Magna Defender action figure and weapons for him, which is cool. Lost Galaxy is an overall excellent toy line, and I'm proud to have it on my shelves. And I recommend it for any other collectors thinking of expanding their roster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time.
So should we start talking about Pokemon now?
Oh, you mean you didn't do that while I was gone?
Actually, we didn't.
I'm disappointed in you people.
Yeah.
Of course, how is that different from any other week?
It's not.
It's what your mom said. Well, the rescue mission was a success in as much as they rescued the rescue team that went to rescue the crew who was already dead. That part was basically a success.
So it was a happy ending?
Oh, you know, the rescue mission also has one of those wacky space moments in Power Rangers. Remember what I'm talking about?
Hanging outside the airlock in Silver Snow ill effects?
Right.
Yeah.
Just like later on in the series when Mike is floating out in space like this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're related to Cod Argo.
Maybe. Maybe it's just, you know, more hand-waving. Of course, there was also that time in Power Rangers in space where Carlos took the dumb little girl out in space on the Galaxy Glider. And her hair blew.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been one of those things, too.
Well, no, the wind was actually being generated by Carlos.
But he was standing behind her.
Well...
If you could give me some explanation of how that system would work, that's fine.
They were flying backwards?
Well, no, then I don't think her hair should have been blowing back.
Well, maybe it's like a car when you set the air to recirculate, it sort of blows in circles.
Well, that would imply that a Galaxy Glider has an air conditioner.
Well, we know it could.
It's got an air bubble around it, why not?
Well, you don't know that it has an air bubble around it.
Well, what if you cruise around in space and you start to get cold? You need some kind of air conditioning to, you know, heat things back
no,
up.
No, you turn on the heater. You
right,
turn on the air conditioner when it gets hot.
Right.
But if you want it to get hot, you want the air to be conditioned to be warmer.
No, you'd want the air to be heated by a heater.
But then you need an air heater, and no one says that.
There's no need to say that because it's just a heater. But if you say you want a conditioner, you could probably be talking about your hair.
That's true, because sometimes it needs more body.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, Mickey, you probably do need a conditioner. So what's next week?
How about a Twitter theater of Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad?
Well, find me some good quality episodes of it that I can actually tolerate watching.
I can check VO for that, probably.
I wouldn't be opposed to doing a Cyber Squad topic.
Yeah, I love Cyber Squad. I wouldn't mind watching that some.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Or we could go with VR Troopers if can't find Cyber Squad episodes.
Well, the VR Troopers episodes that are available are very poor quality.
Yeah.
Like Mystic Knight's quality?
No, I mean the quality of the video.
No, that's what I'm talking about, because the Mystic Knight's quality episodes on YouTube were awful.
Well, it's probably about the same then.
Okay.
Yeah. And probably worse because it's VR Troopers.
Yeah, the footage wasn't in good quality to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay, so pending being able to find some episodes to watch and talk about, I guess our topic for next week will be Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Sweet.
I'll have to find a good copy quality of the theme song to rip.
Yeah, I could probably go down to the used book and video store and like get the VHSs still right now.
Well, that'd be a good way to spend your quarter.
No, I think that's $1.95 a tape there.
Oh. Probably still worth it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You buy a lot of nights with your mom.
Nice.
That's for your change back.
Okay, so let's wrap up the show.
Yes, let's.
Yes.
Bye.
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 So long.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
It's just like how Oz is going to debut in Double's movie this summer.
I got a cross market.
Yep.
It's
but what
traditional.
But now all I want to see is Oz. Well, whoever it is that is Oz, better have a dad named Mr. Oz.
I don't get it. What am I missing?
Since it's Fort Max, probably nothing.
I think that's a question we should ask Fort Max, not you.
That's a question you should ask yourself.
Marvel PF Comics. Buster's friend as a friend named O.
Nicknamed O.
His friend's
name. Oh, we are scraping the obscure, aren't we?
Mr. O.
Okay, that's just gone beyond obscure and non-existent.